Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, Megyn Kelly. We will do something. This is Wretched Radio. You, of course, know Megyn Kelly, formerly of Fox News, now on Sirius Satellite. Kind of miss being on that network. She did some tweeting that caused some ripples, covered by Not the Bee, confessing, I was a part of the problem. What problem? The trans insanity, as she describes it, that we are mutilating children, that we are causing damage to little bodies that will endure for a lifetime. And this is not her first apology, but she is persuaded even more that we need to not just be opposed to it, but we need to oppose it. In other words, we need to do something. That is the battle cry of the day. It is also the battle cry du jour. It's delicious. I think I'll have it. And we, here at Gospel Partners Media, have heard the request and sometimes demand, do something. And we're going to do something about it. We see it. We've observed it for years. Not just our culture and country, but the church. The brave new world assaults on truth. They abound and we all feel it, don't we? For varying reasons, to varying degrees, we are all a little bit angsty about all of the insanity that is going on in our world as they devolve further and further into darkened mind territory. And it causes us to want to cry out, we got to do something! The question is, what do we do? Megyn Kelly tweeted out that she's really sorry that she used to be trans-affirming. She said this, I used approved terms like gender-affirming care for medicinal gender manipulations, cis to refer to the natural. Another, she used all the lingo. I smiled and listened politely as a guest told me, gender is just a social construct. My question is, does gender have anything to do with biology at all? Does biology matter? Now, are we supposed to trust the science here? I wanted to be supportive of those who were suffering, so I would use more evolved language. I didn't see the harm. She's not a dumb woman. She didn't see the harm. It is indeed worth the time and the effort and sometimes the danger to enter into the public discourse on these subjects and speak truth and try to varying degrees to reason with people. Why? How can we do that to children? How can we let adults do that to their own bodies? Well, Megyn somehow got enlightened. And now she said this, if you're not actively fighting against this, you are part of the problem. May I ask, how many times have you heard that battle cry? I hear it regularly. I read it regularly. I read way more than we discuss here, tossing most stuff away. But it is a perpetual battle cry that we've got to get off the sidelines and do something. Megyn Kelly, you're hurting people who are vulnerable, who have been hurt. You have to fight. And then she does offer this, whether it is a donation, she doesn't say to whom, or using your voice. I don't know what that looks like. Or retweeting support for people. Do it. Do something. Well, I have to confess, we got a little tired of hearing that refrain. We've grown a little bit energized, shall we say, by the constant encouragements that we Christians that aren't willing to do something. We're the reason that this country is going right down the tubes. We got to do something. And inevitably, when you ask that person who is commanding you to do something, what are we supposed to do? Their answer is, we'll be back in a minute. Here's a word from one of our sponsors, because they don't have much that they can recommend. Now, Megyn Kelly, at least to her credit, said you can retweet something. Okay, that's fine. Well, here at Gospel Partners Media, we've decided to do something bigly. I cannot tell you now, but in give or take 2 weeks, we are going to be announcing a major initiative here at GPM. It is our desire to do something. And frankly, not because we're being goaded on by conservative commentators, but because we are energized and motivated for really two reasons. We love the Lord. We want to see Him loved and adored by people. And second, we want people to know the joy of the Lord. We see the floundering. We see the lostness, the pain and suffering, the depression, the suicide. And so we decided, all right, what could we do? And we've created a new initiative, the details of which I cannot share at the moment. It's I think, going to make a difference. And I think you're going to be really excited about it. I think you're going to go, whoa, that is bold. That is a brave new Christian response to a brave new world. We will be sharing those details in the weeks ahead, encouraging you to get involved. And now here's the way you can do something. Three things that you can do to help us, join us in doing something. One, would you please, when the Lord brings us to mind, or jot it down in your journal, would you pray for us? We want to try to help. We want to try to do something. We want to try to reach more people. We want to try to encourage the saints. We want to try to encourage local pastors who are taking a beating these days. I can't tell you the number of preachers who I have spoken to who talk about the current pressure of just doing church, because so many people listen to outside voices. And I have a confession to make. Have you been watching the scuttle between Candace Owen and Ben Shapiro in the Daily Wire? All right, I have not dived into it deeply because they're just going to do what they're going to do. But this is my takeaway from it. Are the number of Christians, and everybody, you know, kind of picking sides because of what she said and their response, and they fired her apparently, and she's not going to be there because of statements she made about Jewish people. There's no way I would comment on that because I don't even know what she said. But what I saw are the number of people over at the Daily Wire commenting on it through the lens of their religion. How many Christians listen to the Daily Wire? Ben Shapiro brings his worldview. He puts it through a Jewish lens. Now, you've got, I saw Andrew Klavan. I saw a little snippet of him talking about how he's not worried about the eternity of Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson because of all of the good that they do. And he's a professing Christian. But I do believe he's a Roman Catholic, as is and Knowles, what's his name, Jimmy? You listen to the Daily Wire all the time. Knowles is one of the broadcasters.
Michael Knowles,
Roman Catholic. I hear Candace Owen is moving toward Catholicism. Why would we be listening to people who actually bring their religion to their commentary and expect it to be as biblical as it should be? And they are some of the voices that get us stirred up and whipped. You got to do something. You got to get involved. You got to do something. Don't just sit on the sidelines. And then there are other podcasters that are encouraging a strident Christianity, a rebellious sort of Christianity. And guess what? They're finding their way into more conservative churches, and they are causing a fair amount of strain on the pastors. Hey, when are you going to start preaching about this from the pulpit? Huh? You're part of the problem because you won't speak up. That is a pressure that is real and it is palpable. And we'd like to do something to help those guys, to support those guys. We will be sharing more of that in the days ahead. But another way that we want to help, I mentioned this last week, the local pastor probably receives 10 times more discouragement than encouragement. And some of it, not all of it, but some of it comes directly from the mouths of believers who just go at him or gossip about him, cause trouble. But he also gets discouraged just because he prays fervently for some people and they just continue to flounder. It can be discouraging. Financial issues, family pressures, time management. And then you've got people who are entering and going, "Hey, Pastor, you got to deal with this." And then as of late, he's had to deal with COVID, mass jabs, distancing, CRT, CN, just all of these things. And so I get the pleasure today to sit down with three pastors to encourage them to reveal what it is like to be a local shepherd. Because I'm telling you, they're the key. They're the key. If you want to do something, if you want the nation to change, remember, politics flows downstream from the headwaters of religion, then the Christian church needs to be strong. And the only way that that is going to happen, aside from the power of God, is if our shepherds are trained, encouraged, and strengthened. We want to do something to that end. And we're gonna. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate it when you tune in and you listen to Wretched Radio and you check out our other resources that are available at wretched.org. Now, if you would like to take our relationship to a higher level, we also need your support financially. So if you've ever considered becoming an ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partner, we would certainly appreciate that. We have answers for any questions you could possibly have available at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year? Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. Wretched.org/pastor.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy. So, So does, oh, you have little faith. This is Wretched Radio. I know now that I only got to one of the three things you can do to help us do something. I know that. Now that you reminded me of
you're
it.
You're welcome.
But I can't believe you think that I somehow didn't complete a thought. This is Wretched Radio. We're going to be doing something. We're going to be announcing it. Would you please pray for us? And, okay, this is a teaser. Pray for the men who are going to be joining this ministry. Oh, man, Scylla. You're just going to go, that rocks. That's about the smartest thing y'all have ever done, which I recognize is not saying much. Nevertheless, we are offering a new initiative in an effort to strengthen local shepherds, to strengthen local churches, local believers. This is where the dialogue on stuff needs to happen. This is where the discipleship happens. This is where the paracleting takes place, not on social media. It's social media. All of it should serve the local church. Who said this? I was listening to somebody. Ligon Duncan. He's making the rounds on social media right now because he was talking about the podcasters and the social media folks who pontificate, typically from a basement, who pontificate and tell everybody what to do, and they're LARPers. Are you familiar with the term? I actually learned it out of Kennesaw State in the big quadrangle where the kids hang out, where the classrooms surround the green. And there are people out there inevitably on nice days that are dressed up like knights. Some are dressed up like dragons, a damsel in distress, and they do live action role play. So it's sort of like Renaissance Festival with voluntarily, not for money. And it's called live action role playing. And Ligon Duncan said that's what a lot of these loud voices are. They're LARPers. They're live action role playing, but it's not reality. Reality is found in the church. Are we to have opinions on many of these brave new world issues? Of course we are. We're to judge all things. But the question is, how are we to judge one another and how are we to interact with one another on these issues? And we hear podcasters, we hear loud voices, whatever, some Christian, some not Christian, do something. You got to be involved. You got to get going. You're the problem. And then they tell you that they start complaining about these pastors who aren't doing anything. These squishy pastors. No doubt there are some squishy pastors who aren't going to do anything. But not all of them. They're making decisions based on the needs of their people. They're discipling people, which is what is missing from podcasts typically when it comes to communicating positions or opinions. It's not real. It's not face to face. It has no paracleting involved. That it has no Jude 17 involved. All right, I think this probably will make the point the most clear. Jude 17, it's the letter from the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to write about the gospel. But lo and behold, he said, I just had to encourage you to contend for the faith once given for all time. But then he closes it like this. There are grumblers, complainers. Don't be that in your church. Don't bring that in. You got to check that at the door and try to uproot it from your heart. A murmurer, a factious person. Do you know how many strikes you get for being a factious person? 2. Warn them once, second time, you're gone. Because that sort of acrimonious division is not what Jesus desires in the church. And no, I'm not saying that we jettison theology. I am saying that we aren't. Look, I'm just reading it to you. Don't be a grumbler and a complainer. Just don't do it. There it is. There's the text. And this, by the way, is why so many pastors maybe aren't. Now, they could be wrong about it. I'm not saying that. But let's just try to understand the local pastor maybe doesn't talk about some of these cultural issues because that's just not the text. On Sunday morning, Alpharetta Bible Church, my text was Matthew 7:1-12. It was a pretty big bite. Nevertheless, it was Jesus putting us on the operating table, cutting us open to reveal our hearts and how healthy they're not and how dark they can be. And he does it repeatedly throughout the Sermon on the Mount, revealing you're supposed to love your enemies, not hate them, love them, not be ambivalent, love them. That you commit adultery in the heart when you look with lust, that you're a murderer at heart when you hate, when you're angry at somebody, call somebody a fool. I'm undone. I can't do these things. He concludes, by the way, the landing of the plane. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 1 through 12, Sermon on the Mount. But then the concluding four paragraphs, it's really the conclusion. Okay, sermon proper has ended. Now, choose wisely, grasshopper. There's two roads, broad, narrow. There's two types of teachers, true, false. There are two people who are seeking heaven, those who are going to find it, and those who don't find it. And there's two foundations that you can build on. You can build it on Christ, or you can build it on sand. That's the close to the sermon. But throughout the three chapters, he's just bludgeoning us. Wait a second. Treat your neighbor the way that you want to be treated. That's the close of sermon proper in the Sermon on the Mount. You've been doing that every time you could? So the way that you want to be treated, the way that I want to be treated, which is like royalty, frankly, and I don't do that, likewise, I'm sinning. It is like Jesus just went, if you don't get the rest of it, that you cannot keep the law, that you need me, here it is. Treat everybody the way that you want to be treated. And it should leave us reeling. And we should say, we can't help. Please help us. We have no ability to be pleasing to God on our own. That's the message of the Sermon on the Mount. And then Jesus says, here I am. Choose wisely. I'm the solid foundation. Follow me. Follow my teachings. And on Sunday, we had to deal with the verses that accuse us, and probably all of us, of being guilty of censoriousness, being judgmental, accusatory. Now, the Greek word for judging that Jesus uses, it's pretty rare in the New Testament. I think it's used three times. And usually it has to do with God's judgment. And it has a sense to it, not just of sifting and sorting, deciding, but it has a sense of authority that I'm standing in judgment over, that it is a legal rendering. And Jesus says, don't do that. Now, of course, we've got the rest of the Bible. We've got church discipline. What he's after is our hearts. And I have to tell you, it wasn't a peppy message. It was a convicting message. And I can understand why pastors would want to go, I'll just do topical because they're lighter and people will like me. You got a pastor, however, who makes his way through the Bible in an expository fashion, he's going to preach what is in the text. And you got to, if you're an expository fan, please don't shout at your pastor, do you got to preach about these things? You can encourage him and talk to him and share the importance of it, why you're seeing it as a threat and danger to the church and the people of God, by all means. But we're not supposed to be grumblers and complainers, walking according to our own lusts, with great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. He's talking about false teachers. Here we go. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord, how they told you there would be mockers in the last time. Okay, so we judge. That's what the book is about. These are sensual persons who cause divisions. God hates that. Got to watch out for that. But you, here's the discipleship aspect. Here's the paracleting that only happens in the context of the local church. But you, beloved, building yourselves up, building one another up in the faith, praying, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus. In other words, optimistic, positive, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, there's judgment, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. when I have these conversations with you in the context of the local church, I'm thinking of that because I'm thinking of you, and you should be thinking of me. Where am I at in my walk? How weak am I? How strong am I? What am I dealing with? What have I just come out with? Then we talk. And that's always lacking from podcasts. No, that's mostly lacking from podcasts. And so we want to try to have a different voice that says, we're with you, Pastor. We're with you, local church. And we're going to do something, and I think it's a pretty massive effort, and there are indeed three ways. Ha! You didn't think I'd get to it again, didn't you? Jimmy, you're judging me, you crinoler, you. Please pray for us. Share the stuff that we're about to produce en masse, and if you can, to consider financially supporting us. Those are three ways that together we can do something with not being a grumbler, complainer, or censorious. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.